doctrine to a young preacher. And probably Timothy already knew some of this, but Paul is reinforcing it. And that's what young Christians have to do. And sometimes older Christians have to do it. We have to reinforce sound doctrine. Now, what is sound doctrine? Well, sound doctrine is not what it's popular in religion to believe. It's not what they believe. Sound doctrine is what the Bible teaches us to believe, me and you. As Brother Chris read out in James, faith without works is dead. See? And I know that we got people all over the world. So see there, I asked one fellow, I said, "Are you saved by faith or by works?" And his answer was, "You're saved by both." Well, according to Ephesians chapter 2, you're not. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. See? So we're not saved by works, but works shows the world what you are. Now, a lot of people's got a bad connotation of that. They think that works shows God you're a Christian. Works does not show God you're a Christian. If you've been born again, God knows it. God knows the time and He knows the place. And He hadn't forgot it. And I think He wrote it down in a book. That's right. Wait, what was the first verse He read? Brethren. The Camelites don't get that. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, now remember I said Paul is teaching doctrine here. Now the Spirit, verse 1, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to stop right there just a minute. This apostle is telling Timothy that in the latter times, in other words, on down the road, Timothy, on down the road of life, there is going to be false apostles, false disciples that's going to depart from the faith. Now, faith there does not mean saving faith. It does not mean down the line there's going to be some people fall from grace. It means we fall, that the generations are going to fall away from God's teachings. See? In other words, in the old days, we would meet people, you could meet people, you say, "Well, what faith are you?" And that meant to them, "Well, I'm a Methodist. Or I'm a Baptist. Or I'm a Catholic." Now, you don't hear that much anymore, but in the old days, we did hear it. See? So, departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. You say, "Well, is there a spirit over there in their religion?" Absolutely. Absolutely there's a spirit over there. They say, "Well, we see these people speaking in tongues and jumping up and down and wallowing in the sawdust and see these TV preachers and they'll be going along and they'll stop and say, 'What'd you say, God?'" Like God's going to talk to them directly. See, that's a seducing spirit. That's not God's spirit. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Well, Corinthians said, "Where there be tongues, they shall cease." See, what was tongues? Tongues was a sign. Now, if you read that further, Paul said in Corinthians, it said it's not a sign. He said these signs are not given for saved people, given for lost people, even when they had them. Go read it. See, so tongues shall pass away, where there be, and knowledge shall vanish. What knowledge is he talking about there? Is he talking about, well, now we want you to forget what Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John, and the New Testament, we want you to forget that. That's not what he means. He means he's not going to give any more knowledge. See, the world is not going to get any word from God as far as faith goes until the Lord comes again. Now when we get in a tribulation, God's going to send them some more message. It'll be to their damnation, but God's going to send them some more. Right now, when you see these Johnny come lately people, that God talked to me this morning and he told me to do something, and it's not with the scripture, mark them off. There is no more new knowledge. Now, I'm not against a preacher saying, well, I was reading and the Lord impressed me to preach on this. That's fine. But it's got to line up with the Word of God. So Paul is emphasizing that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, if you read that verse closely, you can see there is a connection between seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you see the connection? You see what I mean? In other words, the Holy Spirit does not ever lead to bad doctrine. That's what he's saying.
First thing they did was depart.
That's right.
And that's a progression where I think it gets worse and worse as it goes along.
That's right. Okay. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit, doctrine of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. What kind of hypocrisy have they got? Well, they say they're saved. Now let me say this. Now I want you to get it straight. Nobody in our dispensation got saved, or any other dispensation, believing a lie. Nobody got saved believing a lie. See? Now, you say, well, what lie are you talking about? Any lie that seducing spirits are giving them. Man, that's evident today in our city. You can drive by Life Church over here and they got 400 cars over there. What's making them go down there? Oh, well, they're Christians too. Are they? You go down there, then you'll find out they got seducing spirits. And you go down there and tell them people, walk in there and say, all this stuff here is seducing spirit and lies. They'll run you out and have you arrested. Well, we're Christians too. Oh, yeah? Well, give me your experience of grace. Oh, I was doing so and so, and I saw a vision. Or I was out in the mountains, and I saw God. All that kind of junk. See? It pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to save them that would believe. And God is not using, neither has he ever used, false prophets or false preachers to save souls. He hadn't done it. Hey, if you go to Jesus' prayer in John 17, Jesus makes this statement. I forget which verse it is. He said, Father, bless those that you have given me. Not only do I pray for them, but I pray for them that shall believe on me through their word. What was he saying there? Was he saying, well, I'm going to let false preachers preach the gospel? Was he saying that? No. So God has given Timothy a dire warning about religion. Let's read on. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Let me address that a minute. What does that mean? Okay, now, let's talk about conscience a minute. Wednesday night, I talked about us being sinners from our youth, according to Genesis. God said, oh, I see, man. He's wicked from his youth up. Didn't he say that? I think that's chapter 8. Well, but how about everybody that's born? Well, we're born with a depraved nature. God put Adam's nature on us since Adam chose the devil. Now, I say this all the time, don't run me off. Adam's first sin was not partaking of the forbidden fruit. His first sin was rebellion. Okay, having said that, how about your grandkids? Any rebellion in them? Oh, I know you love them. I know you love them. And I know God loved them so much He sent His Son to die for them. But do you see any rebellion in them? Yes. Okay. Now, for them to get saved, they've got to get old enough that their conscience is awakened to sin. See, that little girl you brought today, Brother Chris, she's not awakened to sin. Now, she's a sinner. If you don't believe she is, take her toys away from her and watch her scream. But her conscience has not been awakened. Okay? Now, when their conscience are awakened, they become accountable. Now, they're already guilty, but they're just not accountable yet. God did that in His mercy. See, God did that in His mercy. Those little children are not accountable yet. But when their conscience awakes and they get old enough to know that they're choosing sin, and if they live long enough, they will. I say this, and people disagree with me, and that's fine. All a human being has got to do to become a sinner in God's sight is grow up. That's right. Grow up. And I do not set an age on age of accountability. I leave that up to God. See? But their conscience becomes, their conscience awakens. See? Now, it's kind of like Adam was. When he was in the garden before he ate the forbidden fruit, what was his conscience? It was innocent. He didn't know. He didn't know a lot of things. I could go into that, but I won't. See? He was in a state of innocency. But when the devil talked Eve into getting Adam to rebel, and as soon as he ate the forbidden fruit, what does the Bible say about him? Somebody say, his eyes was opened. What was it open to? Yeah. Okay. So his conscience became accountable to God. That's the way kids are. Okay, now, but Paul said here, their conscience being seared, their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean? What that means is their conscience has awoken. They got the truth somewhere, some way. Now you say, well, did some preacher? Not necessarily. Psalm says the heavens declare His greatness. See? And they do come to accountability without hearing preaching. But they turn from it. Most of humanity has done that all the way through. Now, when they have turned from God, in whatever category God's got them in, I think the quickest way to get their conscience seared in our generation is to believe false doctrine. Bad.
Wrong deal. And then God in the gospel and by the Spirit enlightens you, illuminates you, and you realize I'm on the wrong side of this stuff.
That's right.
But in this verse here, they leave the faith with seducing spirits.
Right.
So they know better.
Yep.
And they do it anyway.
That's right.
And that There's no forgiveness in that because they do know what they do and they go past it.
They go past it.
Paul said,
like I said,
their past feeling.
Past feeling. See? Another verse, he said, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What does that mean? That means they passed over. Now, I think, you don't have to believe this, when people go so far in religion that they give themselves totally over to it, I think that that's a candidate for being seared over with a cod iron. Now, I couldn't name everybody that's in false religion and say they're seared over. A few people have come out of it, such as Saul of Tarsus. But that's up to God. Now that kind of brings another subject up to us in this lesson. And that's, well, what about man's will? Does man have a will? Yes, he has a will. We have a will to do what we want to do, but not what we ought to do. See? Everybody's got a free will. And he does what he wants to do, but not what he wants to do. And for you to get saved, the Holy Spirit takes the gospel and crosses your will. And that's part of finding Christ, is in a weak way for most of us, saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you. In other words, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit brings you out of your rebellion. I know that don't cure your flesh from here to the grave. But you are saying, forgive me, God. And then one way or another, you are pressed with, are you going to follow me? See? That is part of repentance. So sear it over with hot iron means that their conscience are no longer have feelings toward God. You ever meet anybody that said, oh man, I'm so-and-so faith of religion, and I feel I'm going to make it to heaven. I know I'm saved. You ever meet anybody like that? I have.
I mean, lost people like that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, they may or may not be because I'm not the judge. But that may mean they're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. If they are, they're not recoverable. They have passed, the old preachers used to say, they've passed their day of grace. Now, don't get to studying that too hard because you'll go try to figure it out and we can't. That's up to God. Okay? But Paul did say these people haven't. Well, who are some of the people that he is talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at verse 3. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Anybody got any? Does that give you a clue of any religious organization you know of? Huh? You got anybody that forbids to get married? Oh, really? You know anybody that forbids to eat meat? Really? Really? Well, you see, they forbid to eat meat, and they think if you eat fresh fish on Friday, you hadn't eaten meat. But I just noticed when Jesus rose from the dead, he came to them disciples when they were at the lake, and he said, children, have you any meat? And basically they said, yeah, we got some fish. And he took it and some honeycomb and ate it.
So I came across, race doesn't matter, but that's all I know him. He was a black man, and he said that he was a Hebrew Israelite. And he was telling me that I had to follow the law and stuff like that.
See?
Does that fall in the category of what I can eat? Is that like people telling me that you can't eat certain stuff?
What did the law of Moses tell them? Tell the Israelites. Could they eat pork chops?
They didn't tell them anything. It demanded.
Yeah. Could they eat pork chops? Could they eat grasshoppers? Yeah. Could they eat ham? Could they eat a catfish? You see what I mean? So Paul is taking a swipe at that. And by the way, that's where present-day false religion gets their rules, their dietary rules. It's a carryover from the law. See? Well, what did Paul say in the next statement here? Huh? Forbid to marry, command to abstain from meats which God hath created to receive with, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat pork chops if I'm hungry. Not yet. But grasshoppers are okay. I mean, what did John the Baptist eat? In the Bible, that means, in our language, a grasshopper. So forbidding to marry and command to abstain from meats. Okay, now Paul said the Spirit speaketh expressly that there's going to be this kind of people. To him, it was in the future. To us, it's not in the future. See? Now, if you read Bible history, if you read history since Christ, the Roman Catholic Church came out of irregular true churches. The first problem they had was with preacher rule. Preacher would get of Rome, he got up there, and he'd call them little preachers around there, and he would teach them. And the first thing they had was preacher rule. I'm not talking about oversight. I'm talking about rule. That's where they come up with the bishop. Now, what's a bishop over in the Catholic Church? He's a big daddy. We got one here in Oklahoma City, and every time they call his name, they have to say, "Most Reverend." He's not just Reverend. He's Most Reverend. See? Now, he's an archbishop in their lingo. All right? Okay, so Paul went on here to say, but I wanted to say, this was foreshadowing. Now, when we get to Revelation 17, there is a verse in there that's all capital letters. Anybody know some of what that says? Mother of harlots. What? Why do you think the translators put that in capital letters? To emphasize it. All right? Paul is saying this stuff is going to start. Right here, Paul told me and you, it's starting. Forbidding to marry. Forbidding to eat meat. Okay? Now it's going to, you know, it's going to mushroom into what? False doctrine. False churches. And boy, I mean, they just want to run you out of town if you believe the Bible. But there's nobody saved in our dispensation that hasn't repented and trusted Christ as their Savior. And they just over there preaching baptismal regeneration, preaching works, all kind of works. See? And they go to that scripture you read in the devotional this morning. Faith without works is dead. Well, it is. But see, James was talking about your witness. He wasn't talking about getting saved. Now then, I want to use that in the lesson. What do false prophets teach today? Well, they basically teach works, and most all of them has got a different set of works. Did you ever notice that?
Peter said they teach damnable heresy.
That's right. What does that mean? That means their doctrine will damn you. Right?
Right? Well, you know, that's what the devil sold Eve. It wasn't way off base.
That's right. That's right. Verse 4. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Brother Wayne uses that verse pretty often. For it, now listen to this. This is why we pray when we eat. Not to show other people how pious we are. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Okay? If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in words of faith and of a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. All right, now, what's Paul instructing Timothy to do? Right. Preach the truth. But look out, Timothy. There's going to be some false religion creep in. False religion is coming. See? And these are going to be some marks you'll know them by. So if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, see? Preachers and teachers are supposed to teach these things. And what I'm teaching this morning is not popular down at Walmart. Oh, you shouldn't say anything. You shouldn't say anything about somebody else's religion. Why? Jesus did. John did. And Paul is right here. Boy, our old preacher used to preach. The quickest way to go to hell is in false religion. Because, as already been said, it's deception. Now, I hope we'll all remember, the Antichrist is coming. He's taking over religion. Okay, what's going to be his chief method? Deception. That's right.
It's going to be a touchy-feely, good, broad, feel-good. It's going to look right. It's going to feel right.
Yep.
And people are going to just run to it because they do not know the truth.
Like I said a while ago, if you were to walk in over here at Life Church and say, y'all are preaching false doctrine and you're going to hell, they'd run you out of there. Now, they do have liberty to do it. I'm not against going over and shutting their doors because under the Constitution, they got liberty to do it. But when it comes to judgment of God, how do they stand? See? I just read in Romans chapter 2, in the days when God will judge the secrets of men's hearts. Now what are you going to do? That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about are they good neighbors. I'm not talking about are they good people. I don't mean that.
Well, even most denominations, most known denominations, they are not teaching or preaching the truth. They have become more social gospel.
That's right. That's right.
And he calls this a seducing spirit. Peter calls it a damnable heresy. It will damn you.
That's right.
It will put you underneath the condemnation of the sin avenging God.
That's right. All good preachers want to make sinners uncomfortable. Now, in a loving way. A sinner has got to get uncomfortable with his sins. That's called Holy Spirit conviction. I say all the time, my first encounter with the Holy Spirit wasn't love, peace, and joy. My first encounter with the Holy Spirit, I remember back in my youth, was confusion. But the preacher didn't quit preaching. He just kept on preaching. He preached a lot out of Romans. Preached a lot out of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. See? Well, what does that do for people? We have to get uncomfortable in our sins as people. And that's what false religion refuses to do. They want to make them comfortable in their sins.
Right.
Well, isn't that seducing spirit? See? The devil don't care what a man does, just so he don't repent and trust Christ. The devil don't care if you believe in baptismal regeneration. He wants you to.
Right.
He don't care if you believe in giving $100 to the Red Cross. See here, God, what I've done. You're going to take me to heaven now, aren't you? The devil don't care for people doing that. He wants them to do it. That's why if you turn on your radio to a religious station in Oklahoma, you're usually going to get these do-gooders. And these positive thinkers. Let's have a positive, you got to have a positive speech. I do have a positive speech. It's Jesus Christ died for sinners. That's positive. If thou put the brother in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Okay, now, if you put the people in remind of this, what does that do for you, Timothy? Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. See what I mean? But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Old wives' fables. What is that, Brother Glenn? Well, that's superstition. Old wives' fables. What's a fable? Yeah. It could be a bedtime story, couldn't it, to a little kid? But there's no such thing as fairies. There's no such thing as elves. I know I'm talking about little kid stuff, but you see, those are fables. I'm trying to make a point. That's fable. Well, the Lord does not want any fables in true religion. Yeah. Yeah. So we are to refuse these things. We are to refuse these hearsays that's not scriptural. See, and we aspire to do that. But most religions, did you know most false religions, they don't even preach any doctrine. They don't preach any doctrine. Amen.
And he took offense to that.
Right, we all do that.
And here we are. Well, if we can get the Catholics saved, we can get everybody saved.
That's right. Yeah. Well, our old pastor, Brother Troy May, he would preach and he'd say, he said, I'm not fighting churches. I'm fighting false religion. He said, if you'll show me in that Bible where Jesus says one Pharisee was saved without repentance, I'll quit preaching that way. Didn't he say it? Oh, yeah. They think the Catholic Church is the oldest one. Well, in the Christian realm, they're second oldest. They're 351 years too late. And they do teach their people they're the oldest church in the world. They teach them that. Oldest Christian, they teach them that. All right, I'm out of time. Appreciate your attendance this morning. Hope and pray it's been a blessing to you. How many Bibles do we have?